All right. Well, guys, welcome to Game Chat, finally. Where this week we're talking about Wondersong Part 2, which is Act 4 and I think most of Act 5, a good portion of Act 5. So this is on March the 12th of 2019. Again, we are Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. And we'll start with intros. So for those of you participating in the chat, and for those of you listening elsewhere, we'll just go through who you'll be hearing talking. And we always have an intro question. This week, if you were an elemental overseer, what element would you oversee? And what would your assistant be? Because in Wondersong, you have the elemental overseers, but they always have little assistants who are usually like, you know, I think so far we've seen like a dog. There's been a little cat. I know the moon overseers has like a little bee looking fairy of sorts. Yeah. So starting at the top.
This is Franco. I think I have to go with Earth, if that's an element that's in play. I don't know.
Sure. Why not?
And how could you not, in this chat, go with any other friendly familiar than a dog?
I'm not going to choose a dog, but sure. Sure. You're definitely on brand. You're on brand. All right, next.
I am Madeline, and if I were an overseer, I would probably oversee probably like tectonic plate movement. So do like magma or earth power or something
yes.
like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And my assistant would probably be like a salamander.
Yes.
Salamanders in some ancient myths were like hearth animals or like fire familiars, even though in real life salamanders would never be able to do that. But I'm magic, so it would work.
Absolutely. Yeah. And next?
This is Kevin, and I probably would go with one of the game elements, whatever it is, which is moon.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm such a night, I'm more of a night owl.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably have an owl as my person thing.
Oh, that'd be so cool. That'd be cool. All right, next.
This is Chris, and as I was thinking about this, I was realizing how screwed over Matisse from Captain Planet got screwed over with having the element of heart. Since it's not even an element at all.
But his anyway. This was overpowered, though. He could change people's wills.
Yeah. but anyway, I would probably go with electricity and my, what is it, assistant or whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm.
It would most likely be that that corgi from what was the two of them?
Finding Paradise.
Valhalla?
Yeah. So
Finding
yes.
Finding Paradise.
The corgi that goes and attacks the monster.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
And heals you with licks or something like that.
Yeah. Nice. This is Steph. I would say that I would probably be, I think I would be the elemental overseer of air, wind. I think being that I would probably go with like some type of like bird, but it wouldn't be a bird that you would normally put with air or wind. It'd be like a penguin or something.
A kiwi?
Something, yeah.
They don't
something.
Even have one.
Kiwi, yes.
That yes. didn't even happen.
Yes. Elemental, air elemental with a Kiwi assistant. Beautiful. All right. So now that you've heard who's chatting here, a little thing of a wonder song. If you don't know what it is, it's a puzzle adventure video game developed by American Canadian indie developer. Again, I need to figure out how to pronounce his name correctly. Greg Lebanov, a music themed game that follows the bard, as he goes on a quest with his friend Miriam to gather pieces of a song that will save the universe from destruction. It was released in September of 2018. So, again, I send out questions every week. And, guys, I apologize again because my questions are literally all over the place. I was going by a walkthrough, and then I was like, wow, there's a lot to cover. And so, like, anyways. But... So how did you, so last week, of course, we talked about the first part, which was, of course, Act 1 through 3, and the false Act 4, which was only you playing as the hero for a small little portion.
I thought Act 4 was in two parts, where you start as the hero and then you switch over to the bard.
It wasn't marked as Part 1 and 2. It was just Act 4.
Yeah.
And then Act 4 again. So I think it was giving you like a false start to Act 4. Like here, you'll be playing a whole act as the hero. And then, nope, you're going back to the bard.
We lied.
We lied. Did you guys feel that the tone shifted any in Act 4 and the beginning of, or most of Act 5 than it did the beginning of the game?
I felt like this got a lot more serious here. Like, mm-hmm. Like we just got done, once you have the showdown, I guess, with the hero, then everything, like the bardlet is really questioning all of their life choices and mm-hmm. what they thought their meaning of life was, and coming to terms with, like, is this going to be a thing or not? Whereas previously you're sailing around with the pirates looking for mermaids. It's a much more serious approach to what the bard's personal stake is
here. Yeah. Yeah, this was the part of the game where on my first playthrough I was like, whoa, this game is saying a lot more and trying to say a lot more and succeeding at it than what I had first anticipated, even playing Parts 1 through 3. I definitely felt a shift in tone of sorts. What about the rest of you?
There's a lot more going on story-wise and development-wise in mm-hmm. this section of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As compared to what we had previously.
Yeah.
And I like it.
You like it.
Yeah. And there was a lot more of character development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Do any of you see any parallels to what was shown in the game to what's happening in society or politically now? No. That was
people think that just building a toy is going to make building a toy or making some gadget or gizmo is going to fix the world.
Yeah.
But everybody hates Happy Kid.
Yeah, that was very, it was very much like a Disney kind of stab, and also like big
commercialism.
Commercialism, you know, people that try to sell feelings. And also, you know, I also saw, you know, even with, because the town's name is like it's something mm-hmm. similar to Christmas. And so it has, you know, and then the overseer of the Happy Factory looks kind of like Santa. There were several parallels that were being drawn there.
In the game files, it's actually called Christmas or Santa or something like that.
Yeah.
I think Chismest.
Yes, yes, that's it.
Maybe.
Yeah. Is how you say it? Yeah, something so yes, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I felt like the CEO or whoever, the dude that runs the Happy Factory, was just also supposed to be like, just show how out of touch maybe different classes of people are, that like, isn't this like I'm creating joy by giving these people a purpose and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, you're sucking the life out of everyone. Mm-hmm. And fortunately he had the decency to be like, oh, well, that's not what this is about, so we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like so many people that we see that have that outlook on life today, just try and cover their own butt and be like, no, this is how people should live their life. So
yeah. Yeah. Did anyone draw any conclusions? I didn't my first playthrough. I actually didn't pick this up until I was watching a walkthrough like a few months ago. That I didn't pick up that possibly, it doesn't say so, but that possibly the owner of the Happy Factory could be the bard's father.
It is.
Ooh.
Now, the game, you say it is, but the game doesn't specifically ever say.
It makes a lot more sense. It makes
it,
sense.
It definitely now. Makes sense. Because,
especially with the age of his mother. Or the age of their mother.
His,
I read a review where it talked about the bard's gender, and the bard is actually non-binary as well as character Ash, which was the accordion player.
Yeah. And then their mother, you know, says a lot of you know, well, your father's gone all the time, and when you tell her that the factory, you know, or when you talk to her right before you leave the town after the factory is closed, and you know, she's like, well, maybe your father will finally come home.
Yeah.
So yeah, just really, but then like when he talks to him, it doesn't seem that way. But I guess if his father's gone all the time and they don't have a relationship, then it doesn't. Anyways, now I'm just hypothetically speaking. So what were some of your favorite moments from the from Act 4, from the Happy Factory area level?
The getting ranks that were puns at the factory for throwing coal into
the furnace,
as well as the guy who loves Miriam.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh, bless his heart.
Who's over dramatic, and it's like, we want to break down the wall of the factory and reestablish society free from the tyranny of.
It's very poetic. He was a songwriter. It's very poetic. Or do you have any favorite characters from the Happy Factory level?
I liked the astronomer.
Yes.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
The male lady.
Well, the Mole Lady was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked how, you know, and you guys can talk about this if you have any opinions, but like, I like how it showed the bard being depressed from what just happened at the end of Act 3. How, you know, his, you know, you couldn't sing loud.
Yeah.
It was very quiet. His whole demeanor changed. Like,
yep.
He wasn't smiling all the time. He was just, at first, it was just very serious. You know, he looked like he was frowning almost. And just the coloring of the town and the coloring of him changed. And even the way that he responded to people changed. And I think that was very, very clever of Greg to depict that, because, you know, oh, like, that's very sad. Like, and just say something about it and be automatically talked out of it. But it's another thing to have them go through almost a half of an act to, you know, being showing the effects of being, you know, depressed or let down from something that just happened to them. That was very clever.
Yep. I really appreciated that
visiting his mother too.
Yeah. I really appreciated that they took the time to show that, because I feel like in most games, in most adventure games, when you have like a bad, when you have a bad day or something bad happens to the main character, then it'll be like either their friends will come and cheer them up or they'll succeed at something that they had been bad at, and then that will fix everything.
Yeah.
And this was neither of those things. And it was really important to the story that the bard like feel this and show it.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I also liked when you talked to Miriam during this time, like she wasn't necessarily like even trying to uplift him. Like she was just like, you need to snap out of it. But then also like you try to get her to help and she's like, and she kind of shares her own kind of issues, which she does more of later in Act 5. But it was just kind of like, the beginning of her kind of opening up to you. And I think I would hypothetically just think that that's because she saw that the bard was not all the time optimistic and happy all that, you know, that he wasn't impervious to feeling bad or to feeling upset. And so I think just again, hypotheticals, it's not, doesn't say so, but that might've helped her kind of open up to him.
Yeah.
Or to, you know, to them. But anyone else have any favorite moments or characters from that act?
Yeah, I did kind of like how, was that Miriam or the witch?
The witch.
Mm-hmm. How she like kind of opened up during the concert, kind of like
in Act 5.
Yeah, because she, you know, she kind of had the weight of the world on her shoulders and, you know, kind of realized that, there's no need to be so uptight and carry the weight of the world on your shoulders all the time. And, you know, you can kind of just let loose every once in a while, even though the world is ending. But, you know, just kind of, you know, just take a second to decompress every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, her kind of breaking out of her shell, too. So.
Mm-hmm. It was a very honest conversation in between her and the bard. And it was done in the most unusual and unusual in gaming, but then not that unusual in real, you know, I mean, like a lot of people, you know, find that dancing kind of frees them and it, you know, it kind of gives them that expression. But yeah, it was a very cool conversation to kind of sit there and just be a part of and witness. Very well written on the writer's part.
Did anyone? I know I was kicking myself in the head. I missed the chapter 4, the dance area. I wasn't sure if I should go outside the city.
And the dance was in Act 5.
No, the
dance was in Act 4.
At 7 o'clock past the
observatory.
Observatory. I couldn't find the dance area in the desert.
That's the one.
You had to go and get all the butterflies, and then you had to go and bring it to that. There's like a tree with a tree on a hill that has a leaf. So it kind of ends up glowing like the leaves in the city. And then you have to get all the butterflies, bring them all the way back to that thing that's on the map. And then those bushes will clear away.
Okay.
Oh, my Lord.
There's a guide on it for all the dancing. You get the caramel dancing dance. So the bunny ear thing.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
All right, so yeah, I don't feel so bad. I was like, I got to the next area, and I'm like, crap! I think I forgot to pick up the desert, the dancing that was in the desert. And indeed, I did.
How did you guys like the usage of in the happy in Act Four at the Happy Factory? How did you like the usage of time to solve puzzles in that act?
Annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the gears. Yeah, the gear part was. Probably the one of the tougher.
Yeah, you had the gears and the that was the palace or whatever, the overseers thing.
Yeah.
But then also you used the time in the town too, because you had to wait till a certain time.
To go and talk to people. Sitting on a bench.
There were some times where I would accidentally hit like 14 hours or something, and I'm like, no, I only wanted 12 or like. So then you have to go all the way over around again. And it's just, I kind of wish they didn't give you just arbitrary numbers to go off of and just, you know, kind of. I understand that there's some aspect of like a puzzle aspect to that in there, but I kind of almost wish that there was just a more straightforward time skip option.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And it took me a little while to figure out what the heck to do for the guy on the roof.
Yeah.
Because he kept being like, oh, yeah, come to me another time, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And what also confused me was that I thought I already had gotten Miriam to join me, and then I had to go and talk to her again to get her.
Yeah, because you talked to her, and she's like, all right, I'll join you. And it's like, okay, well, why aren't you here?
and then
you have to go to the field and sing the song, and then she joins you.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Yeah.
I probably ran into that. I know that it took me longer to get through that act the first time than it did this time. This time I kind of zipped through it pretty surprisingly quickly. But yeah, I do remember having a lot of trouble with, you know, having to wait out times and not getting times right and then missing people at certain times. And I remember specifically, like, I think it was the guy and the dog I kept getting the time wrong for. Or I would get caught up like talking to other people and I'd be like, oh yeah, the guy and the dog. And then I would get there and they would just be leaving. Like I would literally see them walking away. Yes. I'm like, what?
The guy and the dog was so glitchy though.
Yeah. That,
like them themselves were just super glitchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't have any problems with them.
Like them interacting with the environment themselves.
Yeah, I did like that you could like see people kind of going about their day and they just didn't appear where they were supposed to be at certain times. You could see them like actually walking to where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. Go ahead, Kevin.
What did you guys name your dogs?
What?
Because you could name the dog.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah. I named it Barry. I was tempted to name it after myself, but that a burb is a really weird name for a dog.
But not for a bard.
No. Not.
All right. Yeah, it's been like 4 months and I played this game, so I don't remember what I named the dog.
Oh, let's see here. I was just overlooking. So how are you guys feeling about the hero now? Because I think it's between act 4 and 5. I think you see, or in act 5, you see the hero more. You see the hero again.
All sides there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm?
The hero. How you feel about the hero now that you're you know that we stopped where we stopped. A little suspicious of her.
Yeah, kind of scummy.
Well, she was pretty much scummy from the start.
Well, I mean, even more now.
She's kind of like using you. Yeah.
Understanding the motives doesn't make it better in this case.
But I do like how she got put on a fool's errand to find the to get the second half of the Overseer song.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting.
Yes, Frank?
No, I was going to say that would be interesting when she comes back from that.
Yeah.
But yeah, with the whole deal with the potion and stuff, she's sort of like feeling her oats being being the hero. It's like, and she's enjoying her elevated status.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what that potion does.
Oh, what it's going to do since it's
the potion that has purple spots in it and is made out of ingredients that are sort of correct.
Kind of close enough.
Close enough.
Miriam. It's
from a flower.
Yeah. She's like,
it looks like it.
Like, she waits until after you collect all the ingredients and she's looking at them and she's like, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, these aren't necessarily what we need, but I think it'll still work.
Also, why did the bard kill the frog? Because, no, like, the frog's all, like, nice and riveting, and then all of a sudden the boy gives it to you, and then the frog's dead.
He put it in his pocket. It suffocated.
I don't know. It was, like, dead the second he handed it over.
Yeah, I think the kid killed it.
That's what I thought as well.
Yeah.
Oh, did you guys decide to steal the steal the flower or not?
No.
No,
I didn't. And I got cookies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which only every time I think about that, I'm like, you know, I haven't had freshly baked cookies in a while. I need to get some freshly baked cookies. But
yeah,
so good.
It was such a cute little moment. So finishing up with Act Four, you kind of end the act feeling better as the bard. The bard's, you know, smiling again at least. You know, you do the overseer thing. I think you talk to the hero at the end of Act Four. I don't remember. Then you go into Act Five where we get introduced to Relay, to the towns of Relay and Shandesh. So what did you guys think about these places? What were your some of your favorite characters or least favorite characters or favorite moments from the beginning of Act Five?
I didn't like I found the song that he gave us interesting. The singing guy at lumberyard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at the lumberyard. But he himself looked really creepy and kind of. He's just smiling like all the time.
He was happy. He was a good guy.
He looked like a very creepy Bob Ross.
He's a lumberjack.
That also like would be blob on your couch.
He's reminding me like a hippie or something. Just some guy who just likes living the simple life, playing his guitar, you know, doing his thing. Yeah. Yeah, you don't see that much. I don't think Roulet. I'm trying to think, is Roulet just the inn that you stop at in the beginning, or is that the palace too, where the palace is at? I don't know specifically.
Roulet is the good one? Good town, right?
I didn't feel like either of them were particularly.
Oh, well, I meant is the non witch town?
Shandesh. That's Shandesh, isn't it? Or am I getting those confused?
No, Relay is the non witch town. The one. Is
Oh, okay. Then I'm getting confused. Shandesh is where you start out in, and then you go to Relay, which is the non witch town.
No, Relay is the non witch.
Yeah.
So I started out in Roulet.
At the inn?
Yes. So I went to
Roulet. That's not Relay though. That's Shindesh because they all have familiars. They all have animals.
Yes, the first town all had everybody had a pet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went to the non-witch town first, and then went to the witch town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure if you have to, but that's just the natural way that I've done it every time.
Yeah, because the game kind of wants you to go right the whole time.
Yeah.
The first thing that you decide to do is go that way because you don't trust the witch people from what the people at the inn tell you.
Mm.
And you also have to deliver that message to the king.
Right. So Roulet was interesting, the non-witch area. I'm not sure I'd call it a town, but people were interesting, and that it was interesting seeing their interaction with Miriam, since they were all kind of against witches. a little
suspect of them, that's all. Yeah.
Miriam didn't like being there, that's for sure. Yeah.
There were so many animals to pet. That you had the little deer dogs and the polar bears.
Yes. Yeah, in Shindesh you did. Yeah. So you went to Shindesh after Roulet.
Yeah.
Which was a cool little place. There was, and when you got there, everyone was celebrating the hero.
The celebrated hero, yes.
So exciting.
Everyone was really excited about the hero and
staying at the inn for free and all.
I like that you get past the group. The bard and Miriam does, and the bard's like, she didn't even look at us, or
didn't even notice.
She didn't even acknowledge us.
She didn't even see us or something. But he was like, oh, she saw us, all right. Yeah, so did you guys have any favorite moments or people from this area?
I loved Miriam in the city because she was just so salty about everything.
She was.
We're going to look at your exquisite garden because it's just so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so great because they're so exquisite.
No.
I basically love Miriam's sass in this, and then I just find the red panda guy a little bit funny.
The guy who runs the
nature stuff store.
Yeah. As we mentioned earlier, I liked it was fun. It was the whole interaction with the leaves and having to clean them up to get the flower was just really interesting and fun. Talking to the woman, and you're like, yeah, we need this flower for a quest. And she's like, no. And then just closes the door in your face, and you're just like, okay. And you have to click on the door for him to knock, for the bard to knock again. And finally she's like, well, you can clean up the leaves. And then if you don't steal the flower, which I kind of wish I would have tried now since no one tried, you get freshly baked cookies. And he's like, see, yes. Mario, when you do the right thing, you get cookies. Yep. I don't remember exactly. Oh, yeah, you go to see the king at the end of that one. The ruler, the king. And you're talking to him. I don't remember exactly how it happens, but you start singing and then you black out.
Yeah, that's because the ghost is the ghost in you.
Oh, that's right.
You have the ghost of the princess of, you find out she's the princess of the kingdom.
That's right. You go with the hero to the palace, and
she like explodes out of your chest.
And the next thing you know, you wake up on a broom with Miriam, And she's like, yeah, we were arrested and thrown into jail. And
I think it was like you said something about 2 days or something. I don't know if you were in jail for 2 days or 2 days to get you out.
A lot of stuff happened.
Well, the thing is, too, is like while she was explaining that whole thing,
mm-hmm.
the whole time I'm thinking this would make for some awesome DLC content.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It would. Adventures it of totally would.
What Miriam did during those two days.
Yeah. What happened? And you'd play as Miriam. What happened during that whole time?
You just blow up a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, Miriam without, like, barriers is just going to be unhinged.
Yeah.
In some way.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the giant face-off between her and the hero in the... Was it the the order? Forget what it what the element was.
I think it was at the palace, right?
Or was it no? Well, it was in the overseer's palace or whatever.
Yeah,
Just forget what element they were. But
yeah, I love you can't help
lightning
them.
Battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't help them. Like every time you try, they're just like, no, like Miriam's like, go talk, you know, talk to the king or mm-hmm. talk to who you need to talk to. And wasn't this the one, which one was it? You were going to see the overseer and you had to wait. You had to put your name in the planner.
You had to go and not sing. And then it's brilliant. Playing music.
Brilliant.
No singing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime you sing, he would stop you, but I thought that was really interesting. The overseer's assistant for this listening stops you at the desk. And it's like, you have to make an appointment. You're not in the book. And so you make an appointment. He was like, okay, well, we have to wait. You know, you have to wait here. Just wait here.
No singing.
And so you literally have to stand there for like, gosh, 2 minutes probably and do absolutely nothing. You can dance. He doesn't stop you from dancing because he starts dancing. So with Miriam, you go and you land on the ship and you have to teach the crew how you know some music to
each part of their song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you guys like that or did it seem tedious?
I actually spent a lot of time, a good amount of time. It's like, nah, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't, you know, it's like, and actually you started thinking, oh, okay, the beginning, got to start out slow, then the middle, mm-hmm. and then the end crescendo. And it's like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish I knew more about music to make it playable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once I realized I didn't have to play it back, I just.
Yeah.
Could have made it all just the same note over and over and over. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I found it fun. It was an interesting kind of thing. Although the songs never, like, I never end up, you know, you can't be a perfectionist about it because then it would start getting tedious. But, and then it turns out the hero is on the ship as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, so since I didn't, I misjudged how far I had to play through. That explains who the VIP on the ship is.
Yep, it's the hero.
Yes, it
does. Yeah, she comes out. She gives you a nice slow clap after the performance, and after the guitarist like breaks his guitar into the speaker for playing for like six people. It's real rock and roll. Yeah. I don't remember what happens. What happens with her on the boat? What does she do? Like, because she's not there at the witch's town. I guess she just stays on the boat. The
queen, I think.
She what?
I think she just went and met immediately with the queen.
Oh, okay.
You have to go all the way through, do all this stuff.
Yeah, she didn't take the time to, you know, get to talk to people or...
She had a fast pass.
Yeah, she had a fast pass. She goes straight to the horse's mouth or to the queen's mouth or anything. I feel like I'm digging myself a hole. So then once you get off the boat, you get to Mohabumi, I guess, is how you pronounce it, which is the witch's town. Miriam has a broken broom. Oh, no, what? Yeah, something happens in between that. You meet the two ghost hunter witches.
The spell squad.
Oh, that was before the boat. The spell squad
is when you first go to cross over the border and they go and zap you.
Yes.
And then they're like, oh, no. We killed you guys and you're on your secret honeymoon. No.
Yeah.
And Miriam's like, no, we weren't on a secret honeymoon.
And Miriam's broom broke, which probably she was more upset about than being accused of being on a secret honeymoon with the bard. But they were from Mohabumi, I think. But
They work for. Who did they work for? Mohabumi. The queen.
Yeah, they were two fun characters. I liked meeting them.
They're part of the. Weren't they part of the military?
Probably. That sounds about right. Yeah, they were fun. But the witch's city. So what'd you guys think about the witch's city and the singing the tunes to change the platforms on whether you could jump on them or go up them or
this is the hardest invisible. The hardest platforming yet. Like I thought the undersea one was bad, where it's all like the bubbles that you have to get to change shape.
Yeah.
This is I'm terrible at this. I'm terrible at it.
Especially for me with my dyslexia was kicking in with the walking through the walls one.
Yeah, you had to pick it up. Or right, not up or down.
Because I was doing left, right, and then down, and it's right, down, left.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, to enable it.
I had to look at the notes several times. I kept getting them mixed up.
I actually liked this part with I thought it was quite interesting the way you had to keep changing in between.
Yeah.
You know, between bouncy bounce and walk on walls and turn them, you know.
Yeah, it was definitely, you ran into some, and that's another thing, like, you run into such interesting, like, just characters that don't even have anything to do with the story or with your journey. They're just there, but they're all very interesting to talk to. Like, they all have their own little thing, own little story, own little thing going on. You talk to them enough and you're just, you know, it's very cool. It's very cool. I did like the main story in this city, which was with the princess and, you had to go and talk to all of her family members, who were in different parts of the city, and just trying to because I'm getting the whole political aspect of this incorrect, but so she was, so you had to talk to her in order to kind of work out peace with the two kingdoms of Roulet and Chandash, I think, correct?
Well, she wanted to, yeah.
Right. But she was wanting to talk to her mother in order to try and work that out between those two kingdoms.
Yes. She had originally, left.
Yeah, the original story was that she left kind of because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I don't remember how, but she ended up dead. You know, of course,
one of the monsters killed her.
Monsters killed her. Everybody thought, at least from that town, thought that the other town had killed her. That's, irritated the situation even more.
Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm.
So now
she's possessed the bard, kind of. She's inside of him, which I think is really cool that when you pass by mirrors in this town, that you can see her floating. Right. Behind him or beside him. I mean, that's a really cool feature.
Then the sisters can see her as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You go and talk to the sisters. Then you have to talk to the mother. And I think it's really interesting how it doesn't work out, you know?
Yep. still being like, obstinate.
Yeah. And that's one thing, like, I mean, it's kind of, in a way, I guess you could see it as frustrating because, like, you're like, well, I went through all of this and I got here and now, like, it doesn't matter. But then also, I also kind of respect it storytelling wise because I think, because you expect it to work out. You expect it, you know, I'm going to do this, everything's going to be fine, you know, but it's kind of playing off of life that life doesn't always work out that way. You know, yeah. Sometimes you can try really hard and do everything right and you still get a no, which is pretty much what her mother was like, you know, foolish child, you know, she's foolish, calling her daughter foolish, you know, she wasted her life.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess, yeah, I felt, but you know, I came around to the same
still
way.
Still learned the Overseer's song from one of the sisters.
Yeah, it would have been, I guess, too tropey to just have her go along with the daughter. So it was like, yeah, it was more real life. It's like sometimes you just, you know, people just are obstinate and won't change.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, absolutely.
Whose daughter?
It was the queen, the woman that you're going to talk to.
You're gonna be disappointed. She's.
Oh yeah, poor Kevin.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, even the sisters, except for one of them, really was kind of like the. And I know that this thing, the second sister you go and see, is still very skeptical of it. Like she's just kind of, you know, she's not that encouraging either. Yeah. And so anything else, you know, and that kind of leads us into where we stopped pretty much at the Moon Overseer's Kingdom.
Yes.
So did you guys go ahead, Frank.
It was interesting with the three sisters. One was fairly sympathetic, I think. And then the last one wasn't. But I found that the differing, attitudes among them was true to life. And that's like, mm-hmm. you don't get along with everybody and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And each, viewed what she did in a different way, mm-hmm. Leaving home to try to settle the war, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you guys like the, you were introduced to some kind of new ways to use your singing and to use, your color wheel and in the Overseer's places. I think one of them was like you had to hit the note, you had to sing or jump at certain times. How did you like the kind of the new things that were introduced mechanics wise?
The part with the gears where you had to actually sing and slow down things or reverse them.
Yeah.
That was a little frustrating at times because it's like, you slip or you forget what the, mm-hmm. what the trick is and you end up getting ground mm-hmm. up like ground beef. Mm-hmm. So that was the toughest for me so far. That gear area with the, reversing and then, although it was intriguing, it was puzzling.
As a platformer, I really liked that part.
I can see that. I enjoyed that one because that one I felt like was a little bit more intuitive for me than some of the other ones had been, where I just had to like remember which color meant which direction for which object because it would change.
Yeah. I also forgot you got to see Manny and the band again.
Yes,
at the club. Cool. That was fun.
And their disgruntled singer.
And the disgruntled new singer who's kind of like, I will never live up to the hype that they give you.
Like, I just this is my, my in between gig.
Which is another true to life situation.
But then what is it when you sing for him and he's like, yeah, I don't do that.
Yeah, poor guy's just trying to get a gig, like, to help pay for a college class.
Yeah.
He's like, this is just a stepping stone. Yeah. So is there anything else that we missed that you guys want to talk about as far as Act 4 and most of Act 5 go? Liking the story progression. As we were talking about earlier, I think this is really where, you know, this is where the game pulled me in, was beginning at Act 4. Yeah.
Yeah. Because originally you're just kind of like, I'm going around and singing and saving the world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nothing really bad's happening. And then you get to like the start of Act 4 and it's like, and you meet the hero and it's like, well,
yeah.
Yep.
Or end of Act 3.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Kind of
and then you're like depressed.
Mm-hmm.
All this other bad stuff is. And the hero is just like, I'm just going to march in and everybody knows I'm the hero. So I get everything handed to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
But you, or at least we ended at the, you know, towards close to where we stopped at Act 5. Or in Act 5, where it's a turning point. I just really love that turning point kind of in the Bard and Miriam's relationship when they're in the nightclub and they're chatting and they're talking. A lot of real conversation there. So I think that was a good kind of going from like where we started in this part of the game to where we, you know, close to where we stopped at this part of the game. Turn around. Next week we will be finishing up the game. So play until the end. I don't know how much there is left. I don't remember, but you're probably looking about same amount length of time that you spent this past week. 3.5 hours. Close to 4 maybe. But and then the following week on March the 26th, we'll be talking about our March month chat, which I still need to start. Beyond Good and Evil.
Yay.
So I'm excited. Madeline, were you ever able to get passed into it?
I didn't. It was always like a second or two off. Like the cutscenes would be off and then like I would feel like I was missing like the last 5 seconds of whatever they're supposed to say in the cutscene. And so then all of a sudden I'm fighting people and I'm like, it's fine. I can do that. It's going
oh, no.
But I don't know why I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, you had an error in the game or something?
So the game was made a long time ago and it's not made to run on current technology, but you can do some things to get it to work mostly with like compatibility mode, stuff like that. But it still wasn't working for me, no matter what I tried. That was recommended on the Steam forums. So I'm probably just going to watch it play.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah. They have the, it's gaming wiki or something like that. And they end up usually putting up a lot of stuff on there about stuff with compatibility. That's how I was able to go and find a bunch of stuff for when we were trying to play the original Longest Journey.
I'll pull it up tonight, and then if I find similar issues, I'll start looking into possible fixes for those who haven't started. Frank, are you trying to play it on PC as well?
I guess what else is available on
PS2. PlayStation,
the original PlayStation 2.
I don't think I have that anymore. So
hopefully, guys, since we're still recording on March the 26th, we'll be talking about Beyond Good and Evil. It's yet to be seen, but we'll look into that. If not, then I will announce a change next week for sure. But our Dragon Age Origins chat, guys, we failed. We were going to have that this Thursday on the 14th. Unfortunately, all of us were like pushing ourselves to even get halfway through this weekend. So We've pushed that to March the 29th, still on a Thursday. But yeah, so that's our thing. So we'll be talking about Dragon Age Origins then. So where to find us? You can find us at Google. Well, our podcasts are on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher. We're also on Twitter at @the_game_chat, which I'm doing better at keeping updated. Facebook, we're on there as well, Discord. But if you go to our website, thegamechat.net, you will find links to all of those. Again, thank you guys for chatting with me this week. I look forward to finishing out Wonder Song next week and giving it, you know, some scoring. And hopefully talking about Beyond Good and Evil again. We'll see. Anyways, adios, guys. Chat with you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.